his ministry and his teaching ministry of unpacking who it is to be God's people. Jesus, though, moves from teaching to action. He's been teaching about who it is to be the people of God. Now he steps into an action of what it looks like to be the people of God. This is a prayer that the Pharisees, the teachers of the day, would say. I give thanks that I am born a man and not a woman, a Jew and not a Gentile, a free man and not a slave. This is the context that Jesus gives his teaching out of. His next steps speak directly against that. Because he goes on to perform 10 miracles. The first three miracles. The first one is for an outcast. The second for a Gentile who is a slave. And the third is for a woman. He heals her. So Jesus is immediately speaking against the concepts and the values of the people of that time. He goes directly against what culture says, this is what is valuable. He says, no, let me show you what is valuable to God. Paul picks up on this in his teaching. Later on, he records it as, there is no Jew, no Gentile, no slave nor free, no male nor female. All are one in Christ. All are one in Christ. That diversity that we can have in Christ. We become one when we walk through these doors. And in fact, as we go out into the world, our identity is not from being a man. Our identity is not from being a male. Our identity is not from being Maori. Our identity is not from being European. While all these things speak to who we are, primarily our identity is in the fact that we are in Christ. What does that mean, to be in Christ? Well, I'm hoping by the end of this message, something of that will be revealed. I am willing. These are the words of Jesus. I'm going to read to you from Matthew 8, 1-4. Matthew chapter 8, 1-4. If there's one thing I want you to take away from today's message, is that God is willing to heal you from disease, far worse than which can eat your body, a disease that attacks not just your temporary body, but affects your eternal being. That's the message of today. I want you to know that God is willing to heal you completely. Matthew chapter 8, 1-4. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are willing. You are willing to clean us, to heal us. We come this morning, and some of us will be very, very acutely aware of what we need to be cleaned from. For others, they perhaps think that the job's done. Lord, I pray that as we open your word this morning, we will see and know that we desperately need you to clean us every day. And every day, you declare, I am willing. I will clean you. Well, does anybody know this picture? Where is it from? What's happening there? Anybody? Tell you what, I'll shout you lunch at KFC if you can work out what it is. Sorry? Bird flu. Yes, well done. It's the H5N1. So this is China. Back in about, first case was about 1998. It was kept pretty quiet, actually. Nobody really knew at that stage that it was happening. It really came and burst onto the scene around about 2002, thereabouts 2003, when there was a family in Hong Kong that came back from China playing with a duck, as you do, and in the process, they had contracted this disease. The following year, a family from Canada caught the disease, and that's when it really became really well known. And at the time, we were actually in China. We were in the epicenter there. And all the expats did the most logical thing. What do you think they did? Sorry? Went home. So here we go. This guy has just caught this bug, flown from China into Canada. And now a whole lot of people have contracted it from sitting on a plane. And these very clever, smart foreigners jump on planes. They deserted China en masse. And I just thought, this does not make sense. I'm not going anywhere. In fact, we're in a lovely little town. And so I thought, we'll stay where we are. So what happened? Well, this is what happened. China shut down. Schools stopped overnight. Work stopped overnight. Everything shut down. Buses were no longer running. Taxis. Everything. They were so paranoid, so concerned about what could possibly happen, that they ran out of all their cleaning agents. And so you know what the universities were mopping their floors with? Every day, with vinegar. They went to the umpteenth degree to try and clean anything. They started to bring back the vehicles, but for a vehicle to actually be on the road, it had a special sticker to say that it had been disinfected. Had to happen every day, had to be disinfected. The city gates were closed, literally, the city gates were closed. So as the motorways and all the main roads that came in, policemen were stationed there. And so you weren't really able to travel in and out of cities. You could leave a city, but try and get into a city, they didn't want nobody coming in. That was how they reacted and coped with that disease. The hysteria around the disease of our leper in today's story was far more than that of, say, bird flu. The way that the community coped back then was such an evil, invasive poison to protect the community. They pushed out the people away from society. For the leper, when you discover the rash on your body, the community immediately pushes you away. So when the word leper is used in this time, it's anybody that has any skin condition. The fear is so great. You have a rash, you are out. You must cover your body in rags. You must stay away from everybody else. The risk was too great. They didn't have antibiotics. There was no way to combat this. And through that process, they became aware who was really a leper and who wasn't. And for those that it was just a rash, they were able to go through this process of coming back to the temple and being declared clean. But a true leper, the impact on them was massive. For this man, here he is. He's removed from society. No one can touch him. No one dares talk to him. He is ostracized. He is pushed out. But obviously, even in that place, in this community outside the city, they had heard stories. Heard stories of a Jesus that was doing miracles. Now, in the book of Matthew, this is the first miracle that Matthew records. But in other books like Luke and John, we find that the sequence is different. Matthew chooses intentionally to start with this. This is the first miracle that he presents. But we know from the other books that other miracles had already taken place. So this person had heard that Jesus might be able to do something. What did he have to lose? The response of the community would be, if you came back into the city, you would be killed. You'd be stoned. Such was their fear. He risked death because his body was so overwhelmed with what the disease had done to his body. Luke accounts the story, the book of Luke accounts the story as that he was full of leprosy. It's a medical term because he was a doctor. He described he was full. His body was so overwhelmed with it. The impact of this is the first thing that happens with leprosy is that you lose the ability to feel. And so you end up hurting your body but being unaware that you've hurt your body. And so sickness goes in and limbs are lost. One of the first things that happen for people is their voice box is affected. Because they've been drinking scalding water, they wouldn't know. For this man, he was in such a place of pain, it wasn't worth living. So to risk to go into the community and be stoned was really no risk at all. And he calls out because he has no other hope. He calls out, if you are willing. To which Jesus replies, I am. I am willing. In this engagement, Jesus models to us what we are to be as the church. This morning I had some people turn up and ask for breakfast. I was busy. I was not willing. Jesus, he always says, I am willing. He reaches out without fear of contamination. That's why nobody would touch this man, for fear that they too would become contaminated. But when Jesus encounters brokenness, he's not made broken. They are made whole. There is no fear in Jesus. He is only full of love and goodness. And he imparts that to all that he touches. So the first thing I want you to take away this morning is that we, as a people of God, are to be willing. But it's easy to jump to this in this sort of setting as a church to say, we're willing. That's easy. It's easy to identify ourselves as being, we could be Jesus. But this story, I think primarily, is not about for us so much being Jesus. It's recognizing that we are the leper. See, I think if we're honest and we recognize that we ourselves, we're diseased. We are diseased. Throughout Scripture, leprosy is synonymous with sin. In our modern sensibilities, sin is so uncool to talk about. But if we don't know what we've been saved from, we foolishly think that we don't need saving. Jesus died for and because of our sin. Let me say that again. Jesus died for and because of my sin. This goes to the very heart of our faith. If sin were not a fact of our being, then Jesus didn't need to die. But die he did. With his very death, he said, "I am willing." With his death, he washed us. So you and I, we need to recognize that we have been infected. That we have a corrupted, sinful nature. If you have any doubt about this, put yourself in a room and look in a mirror. Remember where Jesus came down from. He'd been teaching on the mountain that to commit adultery, you just have to look with lustful eyes. By this equation, as a virgin, I'm a serial rapist. Jesus had taught that if you'd ever felt anger towards someone, then in your heart, you are a murderer. I stand before you, a mass murderer. Jesus had told the crowds that to enter into heaven, you must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. No one is like God but God himself. No one is perfect except God. And yet, we're called to be perfect. Impossible. Impossible when we are infected to the core by sin. It will take a miracle for us to be changed, to be set free from such a pervasive disease. And this is why Jesus shows with this miracle that he has authority over every disease. He has the power to set us free. You see, in this time, in this culture, leprosy equaled sin. It was understood that if you had leprosy, you were cursed. And so this picture is used throughout Scripture. It's intertwined. Let me show you how. Now, leprosy attacks from the inside out. You initially you don't see it. When you get the rash, the disease is already there. Anger, lust, jealousy, worry. Great message last week, Rachel. Worry. It's the cancer. This is leprosy. This is Ebola inside us. This is the disease that eats us from the inside out. What's the fruit of this? Society's response to leprosy is that it cuts you off from relationship. You are pushed out. What's the fruit of sin in our lives? Shame. Divorce, estranged from our children. Sin causes a breakdown in relationship, most impacting those that are close to us. The harm we do by our sin is just like leprosy. Feelings cease for the leper. They can no longer detect what's going on. Sin, the same. First time you do something, why did I do that? Can't believe I did that. Second time, I shouldn't have done that. Until your life is just embedded in sin, you become unaware of what is good and what is evil. It distorts your appearance. With leprosy, it literally, you lose limbs. It's horrible, disfiguring disease. Sin is just the same. How attractive is a greedy person? How attractive is a person full of pride? Leprosy, you cannot cure yourself. You need something outside of you to bring the healing. And that day there was no antibiotics. There was nothing that could fight against leprosy. Even today, it's a huge struggle. At that time, there was one hope, a miracle. With your sin in your life, perhaps you believe that you can conquer it yourself. I'm strong enough. I'm a type A personality. I can master this. No, you can't. You might deal with that one. It's like a pervasive weed. Pops up somewhere else in your life. We need a savior. We need to know that we have to come to God. Not when we're healed, but when we are sick. The leper knew he was sick. It was this desperation that drove him to ask, "Are you willing? Are you desperate? Are you desperate enough every day for Jesus to invade your whole life, for him to reach out to you, to heal every aspect of your being? Or have you become numb to sin? Are you desperate?" Jesus says, "I am willing." Our God is willing. To all our sin, Jesus says, "I'm willing to heal you, to set you free." You can't heal yourself. Perhaps you're so far into sin that you no longer recognize it as sin. The Apostle Paul, who knew what it was to be perfect, he was able to achieve the highest standard amongst the Pharisees. And all day he surrounded himself with righteous people, kept the law, enforced the law. He had an encounter with the light that is Jesus. That encounter revealed the darkness of his own attempt of perfectiveness. This, Paul said, "He who claims to be without sin fools himself." Please hear me. This message is not a call to purity. This is a call to Jesus. Heal us, Lord. I'm not here presenting a sermon on 5 steps to being a good person. That's not what church is for. If you think you can't be part of this community because you're not good enough, then you need to get a new pair of glasses. Look around you. She's messed up. He's addicted to porn. She's a control freak. He's emotionally remote. He saves every spare bit of money for his retirement because he's afraid of the future. I'm quick to anger. He resents his kids. She stole money from work. He gets his identity by controlling his workmates. And I just made these all up. Probably not, actually. I promise you, there is brokenness all around you. There is brokenness within you. And he says, "I am willing. I'm willing to heal you." Look again. Look around you. People everywhere set free. Some from addiction, others from fear, yet more from self-reliance. Some healed from cancer, and for others, the biggest miracle of all, set free from pride and self-righteousness. Because once they thought they were perfect, but God reached out and opened their eyes, and they too recognized they need a Savior just as much as you and I. I am willing, says Jesus. Our Jesus. What does our leper do? He comes bringing nothing but his sickness. Full of infection, he cries out. Jesus says, I am willing. This is our gospel. You and I, we can come with nothing but our sickness. And he says, I will heal you. I am willing. That's our good news. That's why we come together each week to recognize what Jesus has done. If ever we move away from this, we have lost what it is to know Jesus. He is our hope. The leper does not initiate this action. It is Jesus. Jesus is the first to move from heaven to earth, from the mountain to the place where the leper was. Then the leper cried out. And still Jesus keeps coming. Everyone else would have recoiled. Leper! Not Jesus. He moves closer and touches that which is corrupt and distorted, and he heals. I am willing. Who here needs the touch of Jesus today? Four verses on from the story, Jesus heals by a simple word. Jesus could have done this for this man, but no, he breaks all the rules of the day and touches someone with leprosy, someone who has had no touch for years. Can you imagine the impact? If I couldn't hold Rachel's hand, or give Ben a shoulder bump, or sit with Zoe shoulder to shoulder on the couch, I'd be in such pain. I need touch. Everyone needs touch on some level. Jesus reaches out to this person. Jesus heals the physical and the emotional. Finally, Jesus ended his time with the healed man by telling him to present himself to the temple, following a procedure set down 1,000 years before, but never used by a real leper. For a real leper would have died from their disease. You may think that your circumstances are difficult for God. And even if you were to get right with God, no community would take you in. Well, think again. For in healing this man, Jesus was offering more than just a physical restoration. Rather, he was offering a complete restoration, one that included being restored back to the whole community. We here who have encountered Jesus know what he has done for us. No one stands in this community by their own virtue. Rather, we stand here because of the grace of Christ. For me to get back into the city that I had left, I actually during this time went out of the city for a period and came back in. They wouldn't let you in. But luckily for me, I had sitting beside me a person of influence. With one call, we were waved through. The Bible tells us that there is only one who can grant us an entrance into heaven. That one person is the same person who said to the leper, I am willing. He says to you, I am willing. I need Jesus every day to say, Lyndon, I am willing. And every day, he says, yes. Take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What is the area in your life that you sense he might be saying, I am willing? Let's take a moment. Can I ask you to close your eyes? And I'm not going to do anything to embarrass anybody. I ask you if you sense Jesus has identified something in your life that he wants to say, I want to heal that. Just show me, just by giving your hand a little wave or your head a nod. Lots of hands. Lots of hands. Jesus says, I am willing. So Lord Jesus, as we sit here, these hands and these nods and these inner turmoils as people have sat there, you see that. Lord, our cry is, heal us, Lord. We so desperately need you. Perhaps this is the first time for you to sit in a space like this, and you would like to be able to indicate that you want Jesus to come into your life and not just heal one little thing, but the whole lot. If that's you, I also invite you just to raise your hand. Lots of hands. Lots of hands. Yeah. Well, Jesus, you've seen these hands. Even more importantly, you've seen our heart. You know how desperately we need you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to recognize we need you. Thank you, Jesus, that you heal. Lord, we give you our lives. Every part that we're ready for, we give it to you. Lord, you come. And you wash, and you clean, and you declare us clean. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for rescuing me. Thank you, Jesus, for washing me. I'd like to invite the music team to come. We've got some really neat songs that echo this message. I invite you to enter into this as a declaration of who Jesus is to you. If through this message it's hit something and you want to talk about it further, I am always available after the service for you to come and chat to me, or talk to the person beside you. But please don't go home if you feel that you need to talk with somebody, if you need somebody to pray with you. But know this, Jesus is willing. He has washed you. All you do is cry out. He does the rest. Thanks, Tim.